So today is our second Sunday of Advent, and the theme for today, for the second Sunday, is a theme of preparation. Now, there's certain things in life that you really have to take intentional time to be prepared for. Depending on how ADD you are, and depending on your personality, you might be someone who prepares all the time or someone who's unprepared. However, there are certain things that you just have to be prepared for. One of the ones I think of is when a baby comes, right? You have to be prepared for that. You realize very quickly with your first child, you're never completely prepared for that, are you? But you work hard. I can remember with our first child, Elizabeth, she was supposed to be born the beginning of December. And so we were getting ready for her. Her birthday's November 6th, just so you know. So we weren't quite ready for Elizabeth. So if you think about you and your personality or just your experiences in life, what are the things that you've really had to be prepared for, that you feel like I've really got to be prepared for this? I remember many years ago, one of the families here at the church decided they wanted to take Pastor Shane big game hunting. I don't remember if it was elk or deer the first time we went out. I had never done that before, and I don't know why they wanted to take me, but it was awful nice of them. I was excited. I'm the kind of guy that likes to be prepared for stuff. And so I remember asking them, you know, and making these lists, and what's the stuff I need, and what should I have? And so I can remember, you know, going up to the sporting store up in Colorado Springs and just making sure I had everything I needed. Because you want to be ready in case there's bad weather, you know, in case you get injured, you know, if you get lost. If you get like a deer or an elk, you want to be ready for that. You want to be prepared for all those things. It turns out I only needed to be prepared for cold weather because that was the only thing I experienced while we were there. But that was one of those things in life where I didn't want to just go tromping around in the woods and not be ready for that, because that can be scary. And so preparation's important. And so today, what we're going to talk about, what we're going to look at, is how the people of Jesus's time were prepared, or at least tried to be prepared, for his birth, for the coming of the Messiah. And then in that, kind of, if you remember last Sunday, our theme is we're looking at the first Advent, which, if you remember, that's from the Latin word adventus, which means coming, arrival. That's what that means. And so our theme for Advent season this year is we're looking at the first Advent, the first arrival of Jesus. And our lessons from that is going to prepare us for the second Advent, the second arrival of Jesus, because he's coming again. If you weren't aware of that, he's coming again. And so we need to be prepared and we need to be ready for that. And so that's our theme for our Advent season this year. And so today we're going to talk about their preparation for the arrival of the Messiah. And we're going to look at how then we can be prepared. And the way that we're going to do that is through looking at the story of John the Baptist and looking how John the Baptist came to prepare the people. That was his job. And we'll be in Luke chapter 3. So if you want to turn there with me in your Bibles, we'll be in Luke chapter 3 today. And we're going to look specifically at, we're going to spend time in verses 2 through 8. So Luke chapter 3, verses 2 through 8. It says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the vicinity of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book, the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will become straight and the rough ways smooth, and everyone will see the salvation of God. Then he said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come today, I ask that you would open up your word to us, that we would be able to hear and understand what it is that you are telling us, what it is that you're saying to us today. And not only that we would hear and understand, but we would apply what it is that you're saying to us today. Heavenly Father, I ask now that you would hide me behind the cross and glorify Jesus Christ here in this place. We are here for him. We are here because of him. And so, Father, I just ask that Jesus Christ would get all the glory here today. And Heavenly Father, I ask that I would decrease and you would increase. I ask that you would hide me, that from this point on, my words would not be heard. Lord, I am very aware of my shortcomings. I am very aware of my inability. And so, Father, I just ask that you would remove me and that you would speak. We want to hear from you. That's what's most important. And so, Father, I ask that you would speak now, that you are the only one we would hear from now. Do that work here in Jesus' name. Amen. The entire nation of Israel had spent hundreds of years waiting for a Messiah. They were looking forward to a Messiah. They were living under the rule of foreigners, people who worshipped idols and other gods. If you look actually in Luke chapter 3, verse 1, I'm not going to go through all the names, but you can look in your Bible and see the list of people that were ruling over them. And they were living under these foreign governments and being oppressed as God's people. And so they were longing. They were looking for someone to come and to deliver them from the situation that they were in, to save them. They were looking and waiting for their Messiah. And so John the Baptist comes. He shows up on the scene, and he's the opening act for Jesus. He's the one that comes and tells them and lets them know this Messiah that you've been waiting for, he's on his way. Now, you would think someone whose job it is to come and prepare the way for the Messiah, he'd be leading some kind of great pep rally, right? Hey, everybody, guess what's happened? The Messiah's coming. The suppression's over. Woohoo! Is that John's message? He's pretty harsh, isn't he? That's the way he shows up to prepare the way. John's preparation is one of repentance. That's the message that John preaches. It's a message of repentance. Repentance is how they will be prepared for the arrival of the Messiah. And brothers and sisters, what I want to share with you today is repentance is how we will be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so what I want to look at today in John's message is, I think the three things he tells the people is, number one, to turn. Second, to listen, and third, to live. To turn, listen, and live. He wants them to turn from their ways. He wants them to listen to the word of God, and then he wants them to live that out in their lives. And so we're going to look at his message to the people of Israel, and we're going to see what that means for us today and how we can be prepared for Jesus' second coming. So let's look at his message that starts with the message of turn. Turn from your ways, verses 2 and 3. Back in Luke chapter 3. It says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the vicinity of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John came speaking the word of God. And what was his message? It was a message of repentance. Now, those of you who have been around for a while, I don't know how many times I've said this up here, but repentance is a big church word, but it's a simple thing. What is it? It just means turn around, right? That's repentance. It means turn around and head the other way. That's what that word means. In many ways, the people of this time had turned away from God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, this is what the prophet has to say about the people of God at that point in their history. Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. Repent, return, turn around. The Messiah was about to be born, so the people needed to turn from their wicked ways and turn toward God so they would be ready for his revival. And we're the same way today. We as a society, we as individuals have chased our own sinful desires. Anybody in here who has not chased your own sinful desires? Anybody in here who is not currently chasing a sinful desire in some way in your life? We have turned to our own way. We have all turned to our own way. But you cannot be ready for what God is doing today, and especially for the return of Christ in the coming days, if you're headed in the wrong direction. Now, When my kids were little, I'm sure some of you dads have done this. You ever chase your kids around the house when they're little? They're toddlers, especially when they first start, you know, walking, and it's really fun to chase them around the house. But sometimes I got in trouble for doing that because you know what happens when you chase a little toddler around the house? They run full speed looking the opposite direction, right? They're looking at you running that way, which usually ends up in the corner of the countertop or the refrigerator, a wall, or they run into something. And that's kind of the picture of us. You know, we say we believe God, we're followers of Christ, and yet what are we so often doing? We're running in the opposite direction of Him. And sooner or later you hit a wall. Sooner or later you're going to hit a wall. If you continue to run in your own direction while looking back at God, you're going to eventually run into a wall. Turn away from sin, from selfish desires, the lies of the world, the expectations of the world. How much of our life do we live trying to fulfill the expectations of the world? That's a rough one, isn't it? Because there's a lot of expectations that are put on us by the world. And a lot of times we live our lives trying to fulfill the world's expectations instead of running towards God. And this is something that needs to happen right away in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. There's an urgency to this happening. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, if you've never read that, take a note today and read Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the great faith chapter. It's a list of all the great men and women of God and the amazing things that they did in the scriptures. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, it begins by saying, "Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us because of all this, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." If you think about the picture of the little kid running away from dad, I think the opposite of that, have you ever seen any of those videos, or maybe you've seen it in real life, where a dad comes home from overseas and surprises the kids at school or somewhere? And when they see dad, is there anything else in the world? He's all that exists to them at that moment, right? And that's the picture of setting your eyes on him and running with endurance the race set out. Run towards him with everything that you have. And so the first step of being prepared is that repentance, that turning around and running in the other direction. And then the second thing that John teaches in his message to the people is turn and listen. Turn and listen. If we go back to Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, he says, "As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will become straight, the rough ways smooth, and everyone will see the salvation of God." The only way we can continue to move towards God is if we're always intently listening to what he has to say. To be prepared for the birth of Christ, they listened in two different ways, the people during this time. One was the scriptures. That verses 4, 5, and 6 in there, that's actually a quotation from the book of Isaiah. And one way that they prepared for the Messiah is they were always intently listening to the scriptures. They were searching the scriptures to know when the time, the place would be. And so they were always in God's word so they would be prepared for the Messiah. The second way is that they listened through those who God called to speak. John the Baptist was a prophet, was one that God called to speak to them. So they were listening to the prophets that God called. So they were reading his word and they were listening to those that God called. And in our day and age, we listen to God and we prepare for Christ's coming in the same way. First and foremost, you have to be in his word. You, not people you know, not the other person you like, not your neighbor or the guy next to you that knows more about Jesus than you do. You personally have to be in his word. You have to be reading the scripture. And I don't care what your favorite book is about the Bible, or what your favorite book is about Christian living. None of those take the place of being in the Word. And it doesn't matter who your favorite radio host is that you like to listen to. None of those take the place of being in His Word. In fact, you will not know what books to read or what radio host to listen to unless you personally are in his word. You have to be in his word. And so that's first and foremost the way that you listen to God. And secondly, God has called us to live in community. In fact, he's commanded us to live in community with one another. That's an important part of being a follower of Christ. And God speaks through the brothers and sisters that he has called to lead. That's the other way that he speaks. First, the leaders have to be committed to and speak God's word. If they don't, pitch them. Get rid of them, okay? You don't just want their opinions. They need to be in God's word. That's what they need to be speaking. But when they are, then we have a great deal of growth that we can experience by listening and spending time with the mature believers in our lives, those who God has called to lead. And so that's how we listen to God. We individually spend time in his word, and then we come together as a community and listen to those who God has brought up to lead, whether it's your Bible study, whether it's the pastor, whether it's the person who mentors you. But it happens in community. That's the other way that we hear from God. And so those are the two ways, in his word and in community. And Hebrews chapter 10 is where this command comes from. Verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, beginning of verse 24, says, "And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other." Now, it doesn't end there. It says, let's watch out for another. Let's provoke one another to love and good works. Let's not neglect gathering together. That's important. Don't neglect that. But encourage each other, and then how does it end? And all the more as what? You see the day approaching. What are we talking about? Being prepared for what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. So this is a very important aspect of that. Meeting together, and all the more. You know, if you're one of those who has looked around at the world and been like, man, I think Jesus is coming pretty soon because this is a mess, what should that drive you to do more of? All the more. All the more come together as you see that day approaching. And then finally, once we turn and we listen, it has to be followed up with the way we live. Back to Luke chapter 3. I want to look today at verses 7 and 8. We're going to end with that. This part always cracks me up. Luke chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Then he, John the Baptist, said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to raise children for Abraham from these stones.'" All the listening in the world is useless unless you're ready to put it into practice in your daily lives. The words that John speaks in the passage are words that assume and encourage action. You have to do something. Now, I promise you, next week we're having a baptism service. And if you email me or give me a call or meet with me this week and say, "Pastor Shane, I'd like to be baptized," I will not call you a viper. I will say, "Praise the Lord, let's get baptized." But that's John's warning. He says, you've come in repentance. Who warned you to flee from this wrath of God that is coming? And I want to show you, as the story goes on in chapter 3, there's one group specifically. He talks to certain groups then along the way, but there's one group specifically I want to share with you. And it's verses 12 through 13. A little further down in the story in chapter 3. It says, "Tax collectors also came to be baptized." They are a brood of vipers. "And they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?'" How do we repent is the question. "He told them, 'Don't collect any more than what you have been authorized.'" I want to tell you a little bit about tax collectors during this time. They would bid for their position to collect taxes. So basically, like, you know, the mayor of the city, they'd come to him and they say, "Hey, I will give you $20,000 to be the tax collector for Pueblo." And they win the bid. Okay, 20,000, you're the tax collector. So they pay their 20,000 to the mayor, and they become the tax collector, right? And so then the way it works is they collect how much ever taxes they want to. As long as the mayor's getting his piece of the pie, they let him collect whatever taxes he wants. He has the authority. And if the people do not give him the taxes that he sets as the price, then they are punished by the government for that. Now, talk about a system ready for all kinds of corruption, right? You have the ability to say, okay, you know, the government wants $1,000 per household, so I'm going to set the tax at $3,000 per household, and I keep the rest for myself. Legal. He was able to do that. That's the way the system worked. And so then you wonder, is if you've read any of the New Testament, why people hated the tax collectors. They were considered so dishonest that a tax collector's testimony was not valid in court. That's why everybody hated him. So here's what's really interesting about this story, though. Here's what's really interesting about his, and this is what I want to apply to us today. John does not say, stop being tax collectors, does he? Because everybody hated these guys. And so the rest of the crowd's assumption would be a tax collector came and said, how do we repent? Well, quit being a dirty tax collector. But what does he say? He says, be a good tax collector. That's really interesting. Because in this position, there's also a great potential to bless people, isn't there? That exists there. So what does that mean for us today? How do we live a life of repentance? How do we live this out? You see, it's easy to think with all this talking of turning from our old ways that God wants us to go live our whole life in a monastery somewhere, right? To separate ourselves from the world. But that's not what he wants. God wants us to live for him in the middle of our daily lives. Whatever place, whatever situation he has put you in, he wants you to live for him right there. Actually, that is why he's preparing you. Listen carefully to this. The work Christ wants to do in your life is because of who you are and where you are, not despite it. The life you're living, Christ has put you there for a reason. The work Christ wants to do in your life is because of who you are and where you are in life, not despite it. God wants to show the people around you who Jesus Christ is, and he wants to use you to do that right where you are. Now that is a big task, is it not? It seems kind of overwhelming sometimes. But if you turn to God and away from your wicked ways, if you listen to God's word, then you can live for God in your unique setting. First, you have to turn from your wicked ways. Then you have to listen to him on a regular basis, all the time, in his word and in community. And if you do those things, then you have the ability to live for him right where he's put you. You can be prepared for what Christ is going to do in your life, and you can be prepared for him to return for the second coming of Jesus. So what I want to do to end our service today, we're going to celebrate communion together. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And I always try to give you a specific thought when we celebrate communion together, because I don't want this to just become routine. And so I want something to truly be on our mind and on our hearts today as we celebrate together. And so for us today, I want this to be a time of repentance. I want you to really think, and brothers and sisters, in no way do I want you to think that I stand over you saying this today. I'm right here with you. But we have places in our lives, each one of us, where we are still walking or sometimes running away from God. And so I want you to consider those things in your lives. I want you to consider those places. Where are the places where you need to repent, where you need to turn around and start heading the other direction and start moving towards him? I want you to reflect on the fact, because we have today, as we're celebrating Advent and communion all at the same time, we have the bookends of Jesus' walk here on earth, don't we? I want you to think and reflect on the fact that Jesus came as a baby. The one who is God over all creation made himself nothing, became a baby. He grew up And he lived as the perfect example of a child of God. And then he went to the cross for you and me. Let this truth lead you into repentance today and prepare you for the moment where he comes again. So that's what I want to be on our hearts and minds today. So what I want to do is I want to invite up Madden Parton, who's going to be doing our scripture reading. I've been trying to involve some of the youth in our Advent this year. And so Madden's going to be doing our scripture reading and our candle lighting for us today. I want to invite the band to come back forward and my deacons to come forward today. And we're going to read the scripture and light the candles as we are celebrating communion together. And then afterwards, we're going to end with a song today. So go ahead and read for us, man.
Voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the God of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Each time we celebrate communion together, I quote 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it's verses 23 through 25. And then the very next verse, 26, says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's our job, is to proclaim what Jesus Christ has done. That's what we're called. That's why we remain in this world, is so that we are here to proclaim what Jesus Christ has done. And the most important way that we do that is how we live our lives. That's what's going to show Jesus to the people around us. Now, I want to say, when it comes to being prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ, step number one is to understand who Jesus is, to recognize that you are sinful and that you need the salvation that he provides, and to come to him for that forgiveness. There is no being prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ without that, first and foremost. But for my brothers and sisters here who have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and are now walking in him, I want to tell you that when you live a life of repentance, then people will see Jesus in you and the way you live. And they will want to know who this Jesus is that you serve. And you'll be fulfilling your calling. And guess what? When you're living a life of repentance every day, you will always be ready for Jesus to come again. Amen. I want you to stand with me, and we're going to close with a song today.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your incredible love that you have shown to us. Lord, thank you for sending the Messiah into the world. Each of us has turned to our own way. Every one of us has wandered far from you. And there is no reason that you should be graceful and merciful and forgiving to us. Not a single one of us has earned that. We have earned quite the opposite. And yet you have shown the most incredible love that exists in all creation through that little child that was born. The one who grew up and lived and showed what humanity was meant to be from the beginning, the perfect life that you have made for us, the one who has shown grace and mercy and love and compassion and sacrifice. Lord, the only one who is never meant, never supposed to, never earned that cross, but he went for us. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you have shown us. And thank you for the fact that because Jesus Christ has become the one who has taken our punishment away, because his righteousness is now applied to us, that we get to be called children of God, that we get to be seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Lord, empower us through your Holy Spirit to live a life that demonstrates who Jesus really is and what he has done for us. Let our lives demonstrate what real love looks like. Heavenly Father, let people see Jesus in the way that we live. Heavenly Father, we want to be prepared for the day that Jesus comes back, but not just us. We want our friends and our family and our neighbors and our co-workers to be prepared for the day that Jesus comes back. And so, Lord, do that kingdom work through us. We don't deserve it, but we ask that you would use our lives to show your love to everyone around us so that there would be great rejoicing the day that Jesus comes back again, this time not as a little baby, but as a conquering king, to set everything right again so that there be no more weeping, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Lord, we want to see every single one celebrate in that day. And so use us to do your work here on this earth. Thank you for the incredible love that you've shown us. Let us show that love to the world around us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.